250 episodes. Supposedly, that means our show is now resonating with intuition and introspection.
Meanwhile, we still have a bilingual intern, but hey, I showed up.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for allowing us to start a little bit late. We had some technical difficulties again.
Intern.
Thank you. But we're here. We're here. We're queer, and we're ready to start. So welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0 and LGBT podcast. We're streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can access the live stream at 6. What, 6:20 today? Eastern Standard Time, and you can do so by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. I have a question for you. Have you ever bottomed for someone with a Prince Albert? Concerned about the potential complications while engaging sexually? Well, today we're going to have the great doctor, Dr. Evan Goldstein, talk about just that today. He's going to join us in just a moment, because probably about 10 minutes from now. Because we started late today, so we're just going to bring him in at 6:30-ish, and he'll be able to guide us through a conversation, which I think is going to be very interesting regarding all of this. But anyway, my name is Tom. I am your host, and I'm here. We have a full studio, starting with our first co-host.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be back with you guys. It's Chris.
It's like riding a bike, right? You sometimes try to. You may not forget. But the dish comes later, guys. Comes later. We're going to catch up because we all haven't been in the same room for a while. And so I think that it's very important to find out what we've been doing. And so I'm going to toss it over to the one that hasn't been in studio for a hot minute. Chris, how are you?
I'm excellent. I mean, I'm still a little shaking from the drive here because it was fucking terrible on the highway. But I'm good. It's nice to see you both. It's nice
likewise. Look at that little smile. How's everything? How's school?
Good. School's going really well. Really busy. But I've read two books, so that's fun.
Two books?
I've already read like two complete novels in the 3 weeks of school so far.
About what?
Well, actually two and a half. Two of them are for my social sciences class, which is human oppression. So I'm learning about genocide. And then another one is for my sci-fi and religion class, Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah.
Awesome book.
So good.
Awesome book.
Don't know it.
I was late for, I want to try to read more.
I had to read that in high school.
Yeah, other people in my class said that. I had never heard of the book. I wanted to get into reading, but I don't read that much. But I was actually late for work because I couldn't put the book down.
Wow.
Like, that's how good it was. I really, really, really liked the book.
What about your experience with that book?
Oh, God. I was like five. I don't know.
Oh, God. Damn, you were reading at five? She's smart, girl. She's smart. She's smart. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here, and thank you for trekking through all that craziness, because you guys had snow up north.
It was snowing. Like, right. It was really coming down. When Bobby first got here, it was really freaking snowing up there, but it wasn't. It was so warm that it wasn't sticking, which was okay, but then it just became torrential downpour for the majority of the drive here. It was
That's
not
crazy.
Okay. It was not okay. I was like shaking.
And how are you, darling?
Living my life.
Life is good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. What did you do this week, or this weekend, I should say, because it is Monday.
I hung out with my friends on Friday. That was fun. And then my girlfriend came down. Not my girlfriend, but my friend that's a girl came down.
We know.
Yeah, I was like, just to clarify.
Yeah, no, clearly, we know. Right? You clearly don't need clarification there. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I hadn't seen her in a while. We cooked. We had wine and caught up. It was good.
Yeah. So that means that she's officially drinking.
Yeah, no,
and
I went
little by little,
days.
I'm finding out more and more and more instances of, because she just confessed she had wine with her friend.
Uh-huh.
Aside from Friday, because she had just told
wine
me she drank
them.
Wine doesn't
yes,
count.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
It's alcohol. So I am 22 days. What's today? 22 days sober.
You're still not drinking either?
I have not had a drink. This is all I drink right here.
I know. Because I got here and Trisha's like, there's a shot upstairs if you want it. I was like, well, I'll probably throw up if I were to do that because I brunched yesterday.
We heard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I had the residuals of that brunch on my couch today.
Oh, yeah.
Taking naps.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. Well, and then I was like, I thought you guys were like not drinking this month. And Trisha's like, yeah, that stopped like 15 days in.
Look, well,
proud of you. Proud of you. That's over 2 weeks.
I had a rough like moment and I chose to break my sobriety.
Right. She did. Last Monday on the show.
Mm-hmm.
She had a shot. And I haven't, only because, you know, I said to myself, I'm going to do this and I'm going to try to stick it out. And all I have is just another 6 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? There's only 28 days in this month. So that means that come next Monday, there's going to be a lot of cursive.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cursive. And this intern is going to be a mess.
Yeah. So. I mean, like, honestly, it was, you know, the anniversary of my brother's passing and I did not drink.
Right.
And I had a lot going on professionally, trying to figure out a job thing. I got really overwhelmed and I was like, I just need a cocktail. And I fucking did it.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
And I had a cocktail.
I mean, you're doing it for you and I'm doing it for me. So it's not like I'm checking myself into AA or that I don't want to drink for the rest of my life. I enjoy drinking. I don't think I have a problem, but I wanted to sort of kind of test my endurance and my resolve.
And you can see your penis.
And I can see my penis. So one of the good things about not drinking and drinking a lot of water is that I dropped a lot of weight. And now when I look down, I can actually see my penis. I found it in the shower.
Mm-hmm. Did it have a Prince Albert?
No, but I
did ask, did you say hi?
I did. I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in like a decade. And so it was cool. And I think that's one of the good things, right? You know, obviously we know that when you're consuming alcohol and blah, 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 calories, you know, you gain weight and you can't process things. Blah, 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 and anyway, I'm still getting shit faced on the first. That's all that counts.
So remember we had Matt Steele on the show?
Yes.
Did you listen to the podcast, Two Gay Masks?
I did. They gave us a nice little shout out.
But like everything was 2.0. Like, why is it 2.0? Like, we need to be 2.0. I saw that studio and it was definitely 2.0. I was dying.
So to the two Matts, they do have a podcast. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving us a shout out on your podcast. You guys are hilarious and amazing. I love you both. I was listening to them actually yesterday. While I was picking up in the house and I'm just laughing and I'm going through like the first few minutes of the show is when they start talking about him coming on our show. And
why is it called 2.0?
Because, you know, it's, I don't know. Because when we wanted to launch Gay Talk, I wanted the name to be Gay Talk, right? But there's so many things out there that are Gay Talk. And the last thing I need to do is to get sued by somebody
there already was a Gay Talk.
Right. And so we're going to amp it up and do 2.0. And so that's what we went with.
That was so long ago.
That's right. So
remember when you could be in bars? Because that's right. What we decided, in an actual bar.
We did. And you know, the interesting thing that you say that, because we're coming up on our 5th year anniversary. March 7th will be our 5 years.
I was so young when this started.
I know. Me too. And he still hasn't changed.
I was 20 pounds younger.
Same.
At least.
Yeah. Same. Yeah. And I remember that we didn't even have the studio, right? Because I wasn't here. It was in my apartment on my kitchen table.
The kitchen table. Yeah.
And then I got rid of the kitchen table. And I built this thing and I got this tarp and signage.
Remember the day that we were sitting recording?
I think I know where you're going.
And literally, the fire.
The fire. The fire.
Like, I'll never forget it. And I'm just, you two run. And I'm just on the mic by myself. I'm like, evidently there's a fire.
I couldn't run. I was handling the
I ran
the
out and poured
him
water.
Him and Paul
on it.
Went out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Because Tom was, his view was out the looking right at the deck,
the French where the doors. Flame was. Yeah. So I had the French doors with the glass on them, and all of a sudden I'm seeing all the smoke coming through. And I'm like, is there a fire outside or something? And these bitches ran out there, and it was their cigarette butts that had caught fire inside the bucket.
Oh yeah,
that we
you
had
didn't smoke
it. Yeah. Then.
You weren't smoking at
and
that
point.
And
now you're not smoking again.
Right. But I am vaping because I need something to suck on.
Wait, so you're giving up drinking and cigarettes in 1 month?
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah. Literally. So it's 22 days without drinking, 23 without smoking, and I can't even suck a dick because of COVID. So I'm going through it. I'm just saying that. So
the struggle.
Yeah, the struggle is fucking real. Seriously real. So, man.
I mean, clearly you're with not drinking, you're saving money because you have this fancy new thing right there. So
he still doesn't know how to use it.
Well, I had no choice.
Oh, wait, no. Chris has a sound he doesn't know about.
Oh, that's right. Wait, oh, which one? Dear. So here's Trisha's sound.
Hi, everybody. It's time for my story, but it's not.
Right.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And then I don't know which one is going to be Chris's. So shall we do? Let's try this one. No, that's crickets. No. That's when you're not here. That's what we play.
Yeah.
Oh, right? It's Chris's turn to tell you a story. Right?
Are we but sure?
we can do that.
No.
Some Twilight Zone-y shit.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
I'm hilarious.
So,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and you can like program them and add all this crazy shit to it if you wanted to. Like, I have different ones. I loaded up all the stuff for Gay Talk, but I didn't want to use the pads. I still wanted to use my phone because, you know, I'm used to doing this and these aren't labeled. So I'm afraid that when we go close the show, instead of hitting our closer, I'm going to hit like,
but that that's also perfect. Works.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. and so, but yeah, it's pretty cool. And it records right on the board and you can connect a whole bunch of things to it. It's got Bluetooth thing for a phone, a computer, 4 microphones.
That's nuts. Literally from kitchen table.
Yeah.
Fire on the deck to right. this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the table here before this?
I'm trying to remember. I threw it out. So it was a little desk thing that I bought at IKEA and I cut out something and I bought this metal thing that I put
in.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember it now. Yep.
Fell into it.
I couldn't remember it until.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You remember that?
Yeah.
And then there was a tarp in the back here before the TV was there, mounted on a metal framing. And then the Gay Talk sign, mm-hmm. which I still have in the basement somewhere.
The many stages of Gay Talk.
I know.
Oh, my God. It's been a long time.
I'm crazy.
And that Gay Talk sign is the old one. Doesn't it still say
yeah, the Ultimate Podcast? Yeah, it's time for a rebrand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's rebrand.
I love the purple. Are you kidding me?
Fine.
It's like Barney purple.
I just like rebranding.
I want another blanket.
Why do you have to bring that up?
Because that came from one of my
I know
exes.
Yeah, when it so came let, out
okay,
I was
so
like,
let's talk
oh.
about it. So I've had how many? So 1, 2, 3 exes while doing the show for 5 years. How many have you had?
Probably the same.
And repeat offenders, probably the same,
right? Well, that's true.
We were talking about you. Don't be turning this at me.
That bottle of shampoo again. Rinse and repeat.
Oh, God.
Don't forget to add some conditioner from time to time. And you're hairy, too, so it's like you can benefit from conditioning. Maybe some of those repeats might slip off.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, there's no repeats right now because he is in a committed relationship, and we're super proud of you. The other one is sitting upstairs in my tub right now.
Yeah.
Mm. Go on.
She's soaking.
We brunched.
She's soaking the brunch away.
We brunched.
Well, that's good though. I'm happy for you because at least someone could drink.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we were doing shots with other tables.
Yeah, no, he still doesn't know what happened. So he
he says that he walks and he goes like, you know, I'm waiting for Topher to come because I have to ask him what happened. We haven't had that opportunity to talk yet. I'm like, oh wow.
Oh, did he mention anything?
No.
Anything about the highway?
No, he just literally. Oh, he threw up. Yeah.
Yeah,
he did tell me a little bit.
On 91, I was like, "You got to pull over right now."
Well, it happens.
Oh.
He blamed it on motion sickness, but like him,
he does get motion sick.
I do too as well. If I'm not driving in a car, I will get motion sickness and most likely have to throw up. It's nasty.
Yeah. No, so I showed up and I looked at him and he's like, "I don't feel well." I'm like, "What do you mean, like COVID?" And he's like, "No, I went to brunch yesterday." I'm
yeah,
like,
right.
What do you mean?
I mean, our freaking waitress loved us. We were having so much fun. But I'm going through some of the pictures. I ended up wearing my dinner napkin like an ascot.
Of course.
Yeah.
Proud of you.
I saw it this morning. I was like, that's a napkin. And I walked out with it on. And I'm like, that's a napkin from the restaurant. But the place is really good.
You guys want to laugh? Thank God this is recording because I never hit record on this side. But that's okay. So I'll just hit record now. We'll just deal with it later.
Remember, 250 and
I'm telling you, still haven't learned my lesson. So, you know, it's not easy when you have to
function. Do you remember
function.
That time when...
Do you remember the time?
So we're reminiscing now. Mm. So how about that time we recorded an entire interview with Hans
with
Hershey?
Hans.
And it was so good.
And we
his
had
family
to.
Was like all hanging out, like listening and watching. And then we stopped and Tom was like, I didn't record any of that.
Right?
So I was
literally go back and try to recreate the whole thing.
And it was so good. I mean, I think we did a good job, but the original one was like
great.
Yeah. Fucking Tom.
I say yes. Yep, I did that.
But
that
then again, I have to say, if it weren't for Tom, none of this would be possible. Tom is literally our funder, our producer, our intern, our bilingual expert. Like, yeah, he's everything.
You know, we do it. And the fun thing about this is one the best part about this is when we come together and we're talking about, you know, shooting the shit, talking about our weekends, etc. But we also get an opportunity to really sit down and talk about things that are happening in the community. And that has been the most fulfilling thing for us when we think about coming up on 5 years, that we've gotten an opportunity to talk and really discuss a lot of things that are happening, that have happened, and that will happen. Mm-hmm. And
with great guests from across the globe.
I've also noticed too, since you've been sober for the past, 22
days.
I don't really think it's the alcohol, because you just said, and it's fulfilling. Just saying.
Trish and I always make eye contact whenever you stumble over a word. It's fantastic.
Fuck you with a donkey.
No, but I think that's a good thing to know. Like, yeah. It's not the alcohol. Right. It's just you're bilingual.
But I like to blame it on the cursive.
That's fine.
Because I think it just makes it better.
What are you going to blame it on now, then?
That's the problem that I'm having right now. That's the conundrum. Oh, my God. I said a word.
Anyway, there's a hot guy on the screen right now.
That's right. So listen, we've been shooting the shit and going on and on and on and on and on. And we have our amazing guest, Dr. G, joining us today. We're going to be talking about Prince Albert's, which is crazy. Hi, Dr. G. How are you?
Hey, good. I just finished section 3 of Darth Vader's Legos with my child, Sebastian, and we are beyond ecstatic that we are going to level 4. Can you sense the fact that I'm ecstatic?
I don't know what you're talking about, but yeah, I can feel it.
So you were playing with Legos, or is this a video game?
No, it's playing with Legos, and you know he's supposed to be doing it, but I wind up doing it. And mm-hmm. I think that's why I was probably late for this fucking call. But we finished.
Proud of you.
No, 3. I'm super excited.
But the thing is that, you know, I was a Lego child. I grew up on them, and love, you know, Legos. My mother hated stepping on them as she walked through the house, but we loved them and we were proud to leave them all over the house.
Yeah, but Legos are so complicated now. It's like when I was a kid, you got a bunch of blocks and you figured it out. You put something together. Now you get a box and you have to build a car or like a whole ship. It's ridiculous.
Well, we did a lot of things, you know, when we were younger. I mean, I would buy the gift sets, you know, to do like castles and stuff like that. Cause they had them back then. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know,
I built the castle.
Well, yeah. You know that what's the best is that Legos reached out to me because they want to start getting into like sex toys.
Stop it.
What kind
it's of? It's a joke. Is this a joke?
No.
Like a Lego dildo?
Like, it's so easy, right? Like you could like different angles you could take off,
yeah, what
and like snap it into different positions. Is that fucking awesome?
Well, yeah. I mean, it is,
what
but
if
like
you get a piece loss in you?
Yeah, I feel like
are you gonna like magnetize it?
I feel like they're giving you more work because people are gonna be like, Dr. G, my Lego toy is inside of me. Here's the other half. Can you like get
what they give you a special piece that like is like a, it's like a little bit that way you could put the little piece up your ass and like all the spare parts will come attached.
Oh my God. This is, oh my that's God. Interesting. Interesting.
No, they're not fucking doing butt plugs. Come on. You guys are out of your mind.
Listen.
I mean, I thought one you were can only serious. Dream, right? I was like, is this for real?
I think it'll be. It
could build
be
your own dildo? Come the fuck on.
Dude, wouldn't that be awesome? I think we should bring that into like future method. Where the fuck is Greg when you need him? Is he listening? What is he listening?
Maybe.
Greg, if you're listening.
Add it to the SKUs. We want to work with Future Method plus Lego and create like do-it-yourself anything ass.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe you can, you know, somehow convince Lego to allow you to build box sets where you can, you know, open and close them and put your dildos into them.
That's safer.
That's safer because you don't run the risk of getting a you know, a plastic,
a little piece Lego of plastic man up your
with
ass.
Like six little circles on it.
Well, you know, at least a little plastic. Yeah, I guess depending upon what size you put in there could be a problem. But like, right. You know, the little T two or three ones, you could just shit those out.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, but can you imagine if your poopy comes out with those little designs, and then you can interconnect your poop it's coming out?
That's, this is getting even better.
Anyway, Dr. G. Oh,
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. We went off.
It's okay. I want to stay in left field for a second because I do think Future Method should come out with like a molding type dildo maker. Like, there have been men in my life where I'm like, this isn't going to work out, but can I make a mold of it and keep it?
There you go.
Oh, like a do-it-yourself, like just stick the penis into like a device and then you pour the mold around it and then you have it.
Yeah, 100%.
What was that porn star's name?
Brought Jeremy, to you by Future Method.
Jeremy.
With the big dick?
Yes.
Ron Jeremy.
Thank you. Ew. Like, they used him to cast his penis.
Yeah. That's right.
And there's a whole bunch of Ron Jeremy penises all over the world.
One of my exes, when he used to date a girl, she had a mold of his penis.
Lord have mercy.
It can be called something like move on without moving on, right?
Right. But
was his penis worthy of molding?
Some of them were, yes.
No, but you said this ex, the one that was, what was he? You could tell the crowd.
Oh, my ex or his ex? My ex, 100%.
Yeah, I know. Yes, definitely worthy.
But the only thing is that with a dildo, you can't mimic you probably could nowadays. I'm sure there's a way, but you can't mimic that whole, you know, the skin comes back and being
I wonder
uncut.
If there are dildos with Prince Albert's.
I think this still goes with anything, but I wonder, you're right, like foreskin, you mean, and on that?
Like, how would they create a dildo that has actual foreskin?
This is 2021. I mean, like, you think we'd be able to, and like, who doesn't love, oh my God, I love
Me the too.
Foreskin. holy shit. Mm-hmm. It just makes it look so much neater and cleaner and nicer. Like, doesn't it like make you want to like just,
It turns me on. Like, I love it. It's amazing.
But there's a lot of people that are not into that.
And I don't get it. I'm like, look at it. It's beautiful. And then all of a sudden it's like, surprise.
It's like a convertible, right? So, you know, you push the button, the top comes down when it's ready and it just goes.
Mine was manual.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. So you had to work for it. So, Dr. G, you posted a story. It's been a while now. This story was posted on your Medium.com blog back in January. But we wanted to talk about this because there's been a lot of questions. Obviously, I've always had questions about people who pierce their penises or their penis and how that impacts people's lives sexually. And so the story, which is pretty incredibly graphic, to say the least, about this person's journey, tee us up. Let's talk about Prince Albert's and penis piercings.
Yeah, this was a crazy little story.
Yes, it was.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, from a piercing perspective, this story starts out obviously with a bottom. He loves to fuck and loves everything in his ass. And he was really loved this guy. And the guy had a Prince Albert, a beautiful penis, and this device, obviously. And he was huge to begin with. And then obviously adding this. It became for a difficult challenge, though obviously my client was up for the challenge at that time. And a lot of lube, relaxation, the usual, and they were going at it, enjoying their world. And then as he proceeded to kind of pull out of him the lovely device of the Prince Albert caught his skin to the point where it caused a massive tear
right
in the skin. And then obviously it was quite painful, bleeding, like, holy shit, this is crazy. And like, you could actually hear, he could hear the kind of plucking, tearing of the ass with the Prince Albert. Obviously he was mortified. The guy seemed to be very polite in the moment, though obviously they're now exes because he was not really polite after the fact that he couldn't bottom and had to go for surgery and all this other stuff, that it took him out of that relationship, which is very, very common. And we speak about that all the time. Like, if you're a bottom in a relationship and you are down for the count because of anal issues, it wreaks havoc on the relationship. And a lot of people lose relationships during those times. And then from that point on, his hole was never the same. Anytime he attempted any kind of anal, it would just kind of open up. And that's super, super common. And it's called an anal fissure. It's an anal tear. And the way the tear heals a lot of times is that it heals in an incorrect way. So I always tell people, if you think of like your skin, when our skin separates, it now mends itself beautifully. But in the ass, it doesn't do that because we shit, because we work out, because we're bottoming. The skin kind of puts scar tissue, and that scar tissue is super weak, so that anytime you're trying anything from shitting to sex, the scar tissue tears, and then it just becomes this recurring cycle of like, oh, I feel really good, I'm healed. And then you try to have sex, and then it happens again.
Right. So let's take a step back. All right. So we're talking, a lot of men have, you know, penis piercings, seen them. And every single time I'm like, take that the fuck out before it goes in me, because, you know, I don't want that same shit to happen to me. I mean, isn't that the right way to go about it? I mean, do you think that there is a safe way to actually engage anally with somebody who is pierced?
I do. I think, though, you know, you have to think of it a couple of ways. One, obviously people get pierced because they, one, like the aesthetic look, but I think more so that they like the functional and the fun that comes with it. Obviously, and I don't, my penis is not pierced, so I don't know.
Can you prove it real quick?
Here it is. It's not pierced. And with that, but people say, like, if you're giving blowjobs or, you know, you're playing kind of externally rimming, doing all these things with people that have some piercings in the area, it just heightens the sexual game. So I think that the key is, yeah, like if you want that in you, it could rub against the prostate in a better way that just gets your orgasms that much better. But I think what you need to do is really understand that it creates a lot of friction.
Mm-hmm, right.
So the takeoff and landing is really the most important part of, like, if I'm entering someone and if I'm leaving someone, how do I make sure as the bottom that he's doing what he's supposed to do? And again, we speak about it all the time, that the assumption is that the top knows nothing, but you're assuming that if a guy has a piercing on his cock, that he probably knows a good way to enter you with that piercing. But you should make sure that that is indeed the right thing. I think the gentle thrusts are okay once you're in, mm-hmm. but it's the initial insertion mm-hmm. and obviously the exit that you just got to really make sure. Obviously, a lot of lube. I think the first time you're doing it, really make sure that you've kind of pre-dilated. You're, you know, a lot of good foreplay. You're using toys. You're kind of trying to see if you can gape a little bit so that you're able to take this. Now, I don't know. I mean, I find a lot of people with Prince Alberts, many of them have huge cocks. So,
right.
So I think you really have to handle two things at once, which is, like, you know, bigger than what you think, and also the device that's on it that could cause some issues.
It's like, you know, my cock is huge. Let me throw an accessory on it and make it even that much more appealing.
It's like, let me put a tiara on my...
Yeah, well, I'll tell you,
You could also put a condom on.
Right.
Right. So which is what I was going to say.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's, you know, again, I don't think that you should not engage. Like he wanted it. This kid wanted it. Right. And many people want it. So I don't think we're saying change your desire. What we're saying is that, like, gradually work your way. It shouldn't be like, especially the first time you're hooking up with somebody, like, big dick and this, and you're like, holy shit, like, how am I? And I think it's, how do you kind of break down that to know mm-hmm. how to minimize your risk? And sometimes you just want to take it and shit happens, right? I mean, right. We get that. But if you can do a play-by-play, how do you understand the ramification, potential ramification?
Right. So two questions, right? So one, if you use a condom with a Prince Albert, you have a way higher risk of ripping that condom, right. Correct?
Correct, correct.
So then technically that sex is way less safe.
Well, forget the safe component of it, because this is more of maybe if the guy says, I'm not taking it out, is there a thicker condom that could be put on him? And most of them probably won't put on a condom, but I'm just trying to think of ways that you can kind of like make that a little bit easier to lubricate and a little bit easier to kind of like create more of like a uniform surface. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And if it's your first time, could you not technically use maybe like a plastic Prince Albert instead of a metal one? Like, are there different types that might be safer?
There's
in the
totally anal? Different types. I think it also becomes it's a challenge. Like, I've had people in the surgery where like I had to do work on their ass and they have like, you know, is there a specific name for the one in between your choda? Is there a name for that?
I don't know.
Is that the taint area you're talking about?
Yes. Yeah. So like people that come into my surgeries, they have like earrings and piercings fucking everywhere. And so some of them are really hard to get out and and they burrow into the skin. And then sometimes you don't want to take them out because then you can't get it back.
Right.
In. So it winds up being a major issue. Now, I think it's few and far between that probably tear. Right. I think it was probably just a bad scenario. And maybe it didn't have anything to do with obviously it had something to do with the Prince Albert. Maybe it didn't have anything to do with a lot of all these things we're speaking about. And it just was shit. The guy was shit out of luck.
Right.
But I think that understanding the mechanics of it also like, different positions may be more favorable for a Prince Albert simply because it requires somebody to enter you or exit you in a way that's not putting so much pressure on the Prince Albert side of someone's cock.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because I mean, you have cocks that, you know, are shaped down, cocks that are shaped up, some to the left, some to the right. And depending on how you're positioned is going to determine how unobstructed the penis can enter the butt, right? Or the hole. But you know, you had mentioned something before about the possibility of wearing condoms, and you mentioned the possibility of the condom breaking because of the friction between the metal. So I have a friend of mine who does have a Prince Albert, and I've seen it. And of course, yes, his dick is massive. I never put that thing in my mouth and it never went inside of me, but
lies.
We were at Ty's in New York in the village, and he was wearing, what do you call those, kilts?
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
No, it's not Omar.
Okay.
That's what I thought too.
So, and he was wearing a kilt, and then he literally just pulls it up, and he's like, and I'm literally like looking at it, and I'm like, all right, so if you want to prevent damage to yourself or damage to others, what do you do? And he did say, yeah, I mean, in those cases, if there's concern that there's going to be any type of like damage either to myself, my skin, or then we just, you know, use a condom. And in his experience, very rarely did the condoms break while they were having, as long as you have proper lubrication, et cetera. So, I mean, you do have options.
Yeah. And I think that how you put obviously someone like that who's topping with a Prince Albert actually clearly is educated on that there could be issues associated with it. Right.
Right.
So when you're putting on the condom, they're also putting it on in a certain way where the Prince Albert would lie in a way that doesn't cause issues. I think, again, when you look at from an STD perspective, right? I mean, yes, and it would be lovely for everybody to wear condoms, but we know that 75 to 80% of us don't, and that, you know, it just doesn't feel great for many, many, many people.
Right.
In this scenario, you can make your choice of condom versus no condom for an STD perspective, but what we were talking about was just the condom to help decrease some friction from the Prince Albert if you wanted to take the dick and not worry about the Prince Albert.
Or the potential of getting caught in something.
Yeah, and it could also be a potentially a good kind of stepwise progress. Like some people may do it without the Prince Albert in, then do it with the Prince Albert, but with a condom so you could feel, does it enhance everything from a sexual play? And then if you're like, hey, this feels really good, let's keep going with it, you can then go much further with it.
You know, in regards to injury, I guess not only is there a chance that the bottom might experience some kind of injury, but then the top, who's actually wearing or has the Prince Albert, can cause damage to himself, I would imagine, possibly.
Totally. I mean, oh my God. Oh, fuck. I've seen that before where it fucking rips out.
So, speaking of ripping, so we were having a conversation earlier about a movie, The Sweetest Thing.
Oh my God, I was going to get there.
Right? And in the movie, Selma Blair, right? Is that her name? The actress's name? She plays a character in where she's sucking the dick of the guy that has a Prince Albert, and it gets stuck in her, what, how do you say it?
Uvula?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. So that's what they say in the movie, right? I mean, we all know it's a movie. And so she's literally stuck, and now, like, people are coming into the room and they're telling her, sing, so that you can relax. I mean,
the fire department is there, her friends are there, the cops,
the nuns are there.
Everyone's
there, and they're all singing Kumbaya, trying to get her to relax her fucking vocal cords. You have to see this movie. It's called The Sweetest Thing. It's with Christina Applegate, Selma Blair. There's a couple of other actresses.
Cameron Diaz.
It's amazing.
Oh my God.
Watch it. Just don't watch it with your kids.
But obviously by doing that, she releases herself from
relaxes her muscles, and then she was able to get the penis out or unstuck from her throat, and able to actually. So she was singing like
100%.
It's amazing. You can even just look up that one scene on YouTube, and you'll pee your pants.
Oh, my
God. Then that leads us to our question. Can that be a possibility? If you have a Prince Albert and you're having sex, can it get stuck?
I think yes. I mean, look, I mean, that was the movie, but you know how it has like the balls, right? And then like you can tighten it and loosen it. You know, you, in theory, right? One of them is not so tight against the skin, where now there's some space in between that. And look, I mean, can it happen? Yeah. I mean, obviously it must have, for somebody to think of it and put it in a movie where, you know, and some people have huge uvulas where they're like, kind of like they're like a dick in and of itself. It's like just hanging out there.
God.
Because my thing is, like, you know, there's a lot of hungry queens out there that love to deep throat. And I'm thinking that there is a very, very real possibility that that could happen. And so I guess what I wanted to ask you is trying to sing with a massive cock in your mouth, something that you could actually do to relax your vocals and your muscles.
100%. It just kind of like lifts everything up and moves it back and forth. I mean, look, I think we should all try this.
And then I'm going to FaceTime you when I can't sing off the dick.
I mean, like, sounds just super fun. I mean, what song should we sing?
I have no idea.
Put it in your mouth.
I think that's what they sang.
I don't know.
I don't know what it was.
We'll have to look up the scene after.
I want to go back to the, I don't want to say it again, but the ripping of the penis, because I have a question about it.
Yeah, yeah.
One, how common is it? And two, if you know, your partner does take out the Prince Albert, is there a higher risk for infection for the top?
So let's talk about if someone takes it out. Most of the time, the reason why you can't take it out for a period of time is because the body, what's called epithelializes.
Right.
And when it epithelializes, it basically forms a tunnel where you had the piercing. And that tunnel is skin similar to what our skin on the outside of our body is. So in theory, no, they really shouldn't develop an infection. Though obviously it could happen, you know, I mean, it shouldn't, because the skin tissue is protective. Now, when you think of ripping and tearing and topping and all that other jazz that's there, anything can happen, right? And I think that, you know, we have to take into consideration. Now, it's interesting, like, are there Prince Alberts in people that have foreskin?
Yeah. I think Omar has foreskin, and I think, and he has a Prince Albert, so I think that.
Absolutely.
So that's the other thing. So one of the issues that my friend has, and he says that you have to pay special attention to, is the fact that when they're putting it in, especially through the pee hole, right? And out the side, when you're urinating, some urine may come out of the bottom hole,
right?
Depending on how stretched out it is. And so you really have to make sure that to prevent infections or things like that, you clean out really well after each time you use the bathroom and pee.
And pee.
Or cum.
And I'm also wondering, when Nick was talking about infection, I guess cleanliness would also be incredibly important here, because if someone is not... for instance, they're not subscribed to Future Method, so maybe they're not as cleaned out as they should be. I mean, you can get things into the spots, and that can lead to infections, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that, again, any foreign body, what we think of surgically or through medicine, right, any foreign body has the chances of causing issues. Also, if someone's not using, if someone goes to, like, a thrift shop and you buys, really inexpensive Prince Albert, right? You can get, the ones that turn colors and it could like decay on your cock and in somebody. I mean, there's a lot of things that can happen with this. This is a very interesting episode, I gotta say.
Well, I mean, a lot of people need to realize that the most important part, or the most important time frame when you get a Prince Albert, is the first 2 to 3 months, because you're still healing. You're still trying to figure out how to wear your underwear in a way that doesn't, make you pre-cum so much, right? And try to minimize being hard, because it could be painful in the first few months. These are all stories that my friend would tell me. He was like, yeah, like when I first got it, I had to like really slow down and just give it time to heal, because anytime the wind blew and I got a boner, it was painful.
Start carrying pictures of like saggy old ladies in your wallet just for the first couple months. Like just quick look,
like waking up in the morning with your morning boner, and then like, it just being like, you'd be like screaming every morning, and it's like, and then you think about, remember back in the old days when you used to get earrings and they was like, yeah, take alcohol every night and like, go into the earring and clean out and this and that. Holy God, think about my poor penis.
Right. So, and that's
his poor penis.
It's pretty crazy to think that, people do it, but they do, and it exists, and you just have to sort of kind of understand how it's done. But I want to go back, because you said, just like, for example, they can experience pain, and during the process of trying to recover, so can the bottom, right? You did mention that this person was hurt. They had an inner tear, or what you called a fissure, right? An inner fissure.
Yeah.
Let's talk about his recovery time. And what did you do when you saw him to fix him? I mean,
the scar tissue in that area, and he waited 5 years.
Oh my God.
5 years. And I see it all the time, That's what's so great about us, even though we're laughing and having fun, but we are trying to talk about serious issues so that people know that there's access, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And of course, like you're going to go into the doctor and say, hey, I got cut by a Prince Albert. I want to take this guy's big cock and I loved it. And this is what happened to me, right? But, I'd love for that to be where everybody has access to that type of care, but we know that the people don't. And then what winds up happening is you 1 year goes by, 2 years, you're like, oh, I'm bleeding out my ass, but like it's no different than every other day. And then it just becomes this like new normal,
right?
Where finally, usually when people are ready to start new relationships, where they're like, all right, I got to deal with this, because like, who knows who this next guy is going to be and how and what. So his tear, I basically cleaned up. I removed the old scar tissue. We speak of that scar tissue being very, very weak. So I opened it, cleaned it out, got it into a point where it's now healthy and ready for closing. And then I use a lot of Botox. Now, Botox relaxes the muscle, but this is the thing I see all the time from people all over the world, is when they go to doctors, they're treating the muscle. They're thinking that the muscle is the primary problem. And so they're cutting the muscle, or they're doing things to the muscle so that they can treat the fissure. But for our world, we actually need to treat the fissure. If you don't treat the scar tissue, that's never going to heal. It's not cutting the muscle. Yes, I use Botox to help with the pressure, but that's more to get the fissure to heal right. and also for you to just shit and live your life with less discomfort. So fissurectomy, I removed his scar tissue, any extra kind of tag that was there. I cleaned it. I gave Botox. He recovered about 6 to 8 weeks. We started using toys again, and toys are really important to help with my scar tissue. It just gets everything super strong. And you and I and everybody, we always talk about equating it to lifting weights. If we're lifting weights, the bar of the weight causes calluses in our hands. Same concept. If we're sticking a toy up our ass periodically, what that friction does is it creates a callus in my scar line, which is what we want. Because now if someone comes along, you want a bottom, you want a fist, you want to do all these things. Those are high pressure acts. With the scar tissue being strong, now you're able to engage and do what you want to do. And that's what we did. And then he was obviously super happy, ready to get back into kind of the bottoming world, which plagued him for 5 years. And I think that that leads into a lot of mental issues for all of us, right? You know, how do I take dick again? How do I feel sexy enough to actually want to take and play? How do I, if I do see another, yeah, and how do I feel if another Prince Albert comes knocking on my door? Do I want it? What happens? How do I mitigate that? How do I think about things in a little bit of a different way?
That's what I was going to ask you. You know, like as part of your process, do you have conversations about phobias with the patients? And if so, did he at some point develop a phobia with, you know, people running around with Prince?
That boy has PTSD.
Yeah, I mean, the mental component to what I do is huge. Right. You know, I mean, we have obviously physical. And that's the easiest part of my job is actually getting people to heal. It's more of the, you know, especially a lot of us that are older have internalized homophobia. We have this like, I'm not worthy of bottoming. And then you get injured. And then now you're like, oh, look, this is someone telling me that I shouldn't be bottoming. And like you shame yourself in a way that's just not sexy.
Right.
And so the key is, you know, I always tell people, obviously keeping your eye on the prize, right? Which is, how do I get your form and function back to where we need to? How do I make it look sexy so that you feel sexy? And then how over the next months do I show you through using toys and dildos and gradually getting yourself into a good space that you're actually worthy and capable of doing this. Mm-hmm. And it takes time. And sometimes like people don't even necessarily truly need another round of Botox, but mentally it really helps them to kind of feel relaxed that then they're able to feel like, oh, I do deserve this. And then once I get people where bottoming, enjoying and getting back the positives of sex, it's like off to the races we go.
You know, before we wrap this up, and I know we always talk about buttholes, but I really want to go back to the penis ripping thing. How the hell does somebody come back from that? Is like, it has somebody come to your office? Have you had to perform a surgery? Like, what is that process? Do they lose, you know, nerve endings or feelings? Like, what happens in that case?
Well, I think it's no different than like if you think of we speak sometimes of that ear, you know, the people that do the like the girls that wear these huge earrings and then all of a sudden it gets like a slit, right? And then it cut. And it's a similar type of a surgery. What you have to do is from a plastics perspective is that epithelialized tissue, which we had spoken about when you get a piercing, it basically forms skin. What you need to do is you need to remove that. So that now there's the kind of undersurface, the appropriate tissue, and then you stitch everything closed, let everything scar and heal without the Prince Albert. Then if that person wants to do it again, which most probably wouldn't, because I think that they're probably pretty traumatized,
right?
You can just have to kind of make different adjustments with it. Obviously, you know, a urologist is key. We get you to someone that has dealt with this and is part and parcel to the community in which you subscribe in. And with that being said, a lot of them, depending upon does it go all the way in, does it go through, things like that, they may need to wear like a Foley catheter for a little while so that everything heals in the right dimensions. So it ain't pretty, that's for sure. But look, I mean, I think the people that do it clearly have a super awareness and a heightened experience. Yeah, you know, yeah. I mean, it's like I'm circumcised. I'm jealous of all these people that are not. They must have like crazy sex and such beautiful sex when you have the foreskin, don't you think?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
I did want to point out, you know, there are also other piercings other than a Prince Albert that people can get. Like, I think there's one called like a Jacob's ladder, which is like bars that go completely down the shaft. Yeah. Which that would be absolutely terrifying to literally have something called a ladder going inside your body. That doesn't sound pleasant.
But the thing is that those are bars, right? And so those are closed on both sides. Mm-hmm. It's not curved and it doesn't have an opportunity to get caught.
It could still cause a ton of friction, though. I mean you're going to have
like
18 balls on the side of this guy's dick going
it's
in.
It's like those beads. You know, those beads where you're like, you know, like when you pull it out, you're like, you know, it's like a fucking lawnmower.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
That just made the episode.
Yes, it really did.
So,
I'm really glad that we finally talked about it, because for the longest time, I've always been like, take that the fuck out.
Mm-hmm.
No way in hell.
I guess it was a taboo conversation for some that I'm glad we decided to discuss that.
Mm-hmm. I'm still going to say take it out, but that's just me. My hole's been through enough.
We know. So, a lot of work. We have a lot of work for you right here. Just right here, Dr. G.
He's like, I don't even want to see it.
Well, Dr. G, I want to take the opportunity again. Thank you. Thank you for taking time out of your day to educate us. I think that what you do and what you know and the services that you provide are very, very necessary for our community, because there's a lot of people out there that
have Prince Alberts.
That have Prince Alberts and they need care.
Yeah.
Well, and the little bottoms, you know, that that want to take and that stay massive tuned. Dick.
The Future Method plus Lego collaboration is coming out soon.
Absolutely.
We're going to have our own Lego version of Dick in a Box.
Dr. G, I'm not saying that like we have been waiting for our butt scrub so that we can review it on the show. But
you haven't gotten it?
No. I mean, like, I could totally pay for it, but I'm unemployed, Dr. G. No. COVID. Oh my God.
No. I'm going to, right when I hang up, I'm going to send a text and we're going to get what you need. And then we're launching, I don't know if I can disclose what we're launching, but I'm not going to, but we are launching something in the next couple of weeks, which I think is going to be super interesting, exciting. And so obviously we'll share everything with everybody. But you guys know how to find me, Dr. Evan Goldstein on Insta, Bespoke Surgical and The Future Method. Mm-hmm. And I love you all.
We love you.
Oh, we love you.
We're not going to see you until April now. So
why?
What? Because you have a conflict the 1st of March.
Oh, excuse me.
I mean, like, I talk to your people.
Your people talk to our people, and, you know, and meaning this is the people.
But if you are launching something, let us know, and then maybe we can, like, figure out a date in March.
Yeah, we'll figure something out.
All right, cool.
Yeah, you know that our doors are always open for you, no matter what day of the week it is. So
the doors, the holes,
The doors, the mouths, everything.
Just take out the Prince Albert.
Okay. Just make sure. Just make sure you don't have a ridiculously big uvula
to get caught.
We'll sing away.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, Dr. G, thank you so much for joining us. Have a wonderful evening, and hugs to your boys.
Get back to Legos.
Bye.
Well, ladies and gents, that, of course, was Dr. G. As always, this man is amazing. He really does make our day. At least he makes mine, because I just love all of the information that he provides for us. So it's been a very, very, very long first half. We had to do it that way because, like I said, we had some technical difficulties like I'm having right now. And so we had to just sort of kind of figure out a way to get Dr. G on the first half. We're going to go to break. We'll leave you with some music. When we come back, we'll go through the dish very quickly and wrap up the show and say goodbye to everyone. So hold on tight. We'll be right back.
My head gets caught in the moment, but my heart doesn't know it. Heart doesn't know it. Somehow I'm lost in the with sun on my shoulders, the sun's on my shoulders. My heart's a winding road, but I can't control it, and nobody knows it. Do I fall in love? Do I fall in love? Get your shit, get your suitcase, your dog, your guitar, cause we gotta go now, cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names, yes, they're coming, just the same. Well, I know you don't want to leave your life. You've had some blood and tears, little joy, little strife, but they're coming. Well, they're coming down the road, yes, they're coming. Just the same. They got a knapsack full of judgment, hypocrisy and lies, and they're talking so much hateful bullshit they've begun to gather flies. But they're coming. Well, don't look them in the eyes. Yes, they're coming. No surprise. So much terror in our past. How are you so surprised it's come to bite you in the ass? Yes, it's coming. Well, it's nipping at your heels. Yes, it's coming for the kill. And don't forget the whiskey. Head out to the wastelands where we can change our names. Cause they're coming. Well, they know our fucking names. Yes, they're coming. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same. Just the same.
Oh, right. right, we are back, ladies and gents. That, of course, was the amazing Amanda Barrick with Wastelands. That song and the album is available on all the major music streaming services, so make sure that you go support our LGBTQ artists. What the hell was that?
Scared the shit out of me.
Like, really? Really fun? Oh, I see what happened here. Never mind. Okay. We're going through it.
250 intern.
Right. So we're back. We're back from the break. Thank you, Dr. G, once again for joining us. That was an amazing interview and an amazing story. Now we've got some dish. So why don't we kick it off? Joe Biden urges Congress to swiftly pass the Historic Equality Act and finally protect LGBTQ Americans in this country. So it's worth noting that the House of Representatives actually took this on, this bill, and passed it back in, I believe, 2017. But then it just sat on Mitch McConnell's desk in the Senate and never went anywhere because, obviously, we didn't have control of the Senate and everything that we threw at it, unfortunately, just sat on someone's desk. But that's not the case. Right now we have control of the Senate, we have control of the House, we have a Democratic president, and it is time to see this through. So the House is going to be actually voting on this week, and we expect, because they have the numbers, that this is going to pass, and then it will go to the Senate, where now we have a new majority leader, Chuck Schumer, who will put it for a vote.
Who?
Chuck Schumer.
Oh,
okay. He's no longer the minority leader.
Okay. I thought you said something else. Anyway, go on.
No, Chuck Schumer. And so it excites me because for the first time in a very long time, we can see the light at the end of the tunnel, right? We're seeing where we know that if this goes to the Senate now, it'll most likely be a 50-50 vote. You may get a couple of senators.
That's what I'm wondering. We might get a couple. Like, I wonder if...
I think Lisa Murkowski might do it. Susan Collins from Maine might jump on board. And I don't know where Senator Manchin from West Virginia stands on the issue.
Yeah, that's the other one I was wondering about. Because that's the only one that, I mean, we couldn't afford to lose him.
Right. And he's a Democrat, right? But
he's a very central Democrat. And he's representing West Virginia.
Yeah, he pisses me off a lot of times. But anyway. But we have a chance, and this excites me. It really excites me. How would you feel if the Equality Act passes, right? If we get a vote on it this week, it goes to the Senate and the president signs it. What would that mean for you, Trish? Let's start with you.
I don't know. I mean, it's amazing, because they're going to really redefine what the Civil Rights Act means.
Right.
Which basically means we've talked about in the show, you know, you can't discriminate against sex, but now we're going to expand that definition to sexual orientation, gender identity, and that also includes housing, employment, public education. I mean, like, it's amazing.
Right. The Equality Act basically provides long overdue federal civil rights protections on so many levels, including, mm-hmm. like you mentioned, housing, all of these other things, you know, public education, employment, and codifying it into law makes it that much more difficult for people to overturn something like that. It's a very, very historic thing. You have mentioned in the past that there's a lot of, there's certain types of legislation that are so precedent setting that typically can't be overturned.
Right.
Like, you believe marriage equality would never be able to be overturned.
Technically it could, yes, but it's really set a precedence that it's very, very, very unlikely. And I forget the legal term that a law student had explained to me about why they feel marriage equality is safe. But it is interesting that you were mentioning Joe Manchin, because it actually does say it in the article here. It's saying that, you know, Vice President Kamala Harris has the ability to cast a tie breaking vote, which the vice president can, but it says one Democrat, West Virginia, has previously declared his opposition to the bill.
What a motherfucker. See, I can't.
And then it goes further to say, to make matters even worse, 60 votes would be needed to override a very likely GOP filibuster unless the Democrats succeed in abolishing the filibuster mechanism, which Manchin and another conservative Democrat, Kyrsten Sinema, have both stated their opposition to supporting removal of the filibuster.
See, so, I don't support that at all.
I think I'm conflicted about this whole filibuster thing and removing.
Do you remember when Chris Murphy sat on the floor for hours?
It was like 24 straight hours, or 16 hours following. Was it 8? Okay.
18.
Following like, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas shooting, was it? Yeah,
that is such an important moment that we can't forget. I think that the concept of filibustering, you know, is so important to be able to stop a vote that has not really had the time to percolate through everybody's thoughts and to have conversations with everybody within the Senate. Like, I think it's really important that that does not go away, because it's a way to kind of put a hold on something that should not be passed.
I mean, parties have used it in the past. A filibuster is talking a bill to death. But even, I believe it was, I don't know if it was for the...
Not even really. I mean, you can get up there and read a book, for Christ's
sake. Well, one of the most famous ones was like a 48-day filibuster or something like that, maybe even a couple of days over 50. And the senator was reading recipes.
Yeah.
He was reading from a cookbook. It's literally talking a bill to death. That's what the filibuster does. And both sides have used it to their advantage in the past.
Right. Well, I mean, they could always... So a lot of people don't realize, too, that, you know...
Both, they could work together.
Both sides have an opportunity to take at least two bills, I believe, during a congressional session and go through a process that they call reconciliation, which allows you to actually take a legislation that's very, you know, controversial, et cetera, and pass it with just a simple majority.
Right.
And so when we think about, for example, the package that they're about to pass for COVID, they're doing and using the reconciliation process to do that, because they don't want to have this bill die because it needs 60 votes versus the 51.
Right.
Right. And so there is a possibility that, you know, if they were smart, this could be that second bill that they choose, that the Senate chooses to go through the reconciliation process to pass with a simple majority. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping, you know, that that's what happens. But nonetheless, we are super close to getting there. So at this point, we know it's going to pass the House. Please make sure that you call your senators and encourage them to support the bill, because it just makes it that much more easier. And if you're in states like Alaska and you're in states like Maine, and where you have senators that have on occasion supported Democratic bills, make sure that you reach out to them and let them know how you feel, because this is important for us. It's important for our country. We need to get this on the books and move the fuck on. Seriously. So that's that. That's one of the things that were happening. There's other things, of course. Nick, you wanted to talk about some craziness.
I mean, I pleasurable didn't really want to talk about it, but had to put a story in,
that's,
so I did.
That's what she always says, that she never really wants to talk about it, but she does.
Until we're about to close out.
Right. One more thing.
By the way, don't forget. I came across this article about finding sexual pleasure during a modern day pandemic, which we are all facing.
It's kind of crazy that they had to put modern in front of the word pandemic. I mean, a pandemic is a pandemic.
Right. But I mean, like, you know, the gay community went through a pandemic.
Right. But like, when you think about modern pandemic, that's what they're using in this article to describe this pandemic. Mm-hmm. What do you think people in 1919 or 1912, when we had the last pandemic?
Spanish AIDS. Flu. AIDS was the
last. That's what I thought he was talking pandemic. About. Yeah, but you're talking about the Spanish flu.
The Spanish flu, like the 1912, I believe it
that
was, or something like
everybody.
That.
Everybody.
Well, I'm thinking to myself, did they think that that was a modern day pandemic at that time?
Probably.
I mean, who knows? We don't know, right? It's just weird that they chose the word modern, right? Because to every pandemic, to somebody was modern at some point in time.
1918, they had said it like that.
Thank you.
No, you're right.
Anyway, but go ahead.
I guess the point of this is the fact that, like, you know, gay men, gay, bi men, lesbians, heterosexual people, we are all still searching and wanting to connect with people, but we can't. And we're all still, you know, yearning for not only physical touch, but emotional, you know, fulfillment.
Right.
And so reading this article to me, oh, thank you.
You're welcome, honey.
COVID. but I thought this article was really interesting because it was talking about different ways to kind of fulfill those needs, which I don't necessarily agree with completely, but whatever. Anyway, so explore all the ways you can be sexually satisfied.
Well, let's hear them. Oh, wait. Fairy dust.
So So they're talking about all different things. There are Zoom sex parties now. I have not heard of this.
I have.
Okay, so I don't know what a Zoom sex party is, but I can only imagine.
So there's got to be
mutual masturbation.
Right. And right. So
it's but they also have masturbation clubs.
Wow. It's like the Fight Club.
Like Jerk Mate. Yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah. I wonder if
get off Pornhub. We all know that ad at this point.
Exactly. I was like, their stock must have went up from this pandemic.
Seriously.
Forget GameStop. Jerkmate's the stock company of tomorrow.
But then I don't even think they're a publicly traded company. So.
But then also we talk about a lot about OnlyFans. It blew up during right. the pandemic.
And a lot of people made a lot of money.
A lot of people made a lot of money right. by literally selling their naked bodies.
There's somebody on my page that goes on, I'm like, dude, I'm on OnlyFans. You should come check me out. I make more money than my father, and he can't even get over that. I die every time he puts messages like that. Anyway, go ahead.
And then there's an app called Prepster, which created a great, brilliant guide to navigating COVID when you're horny. It's a perfect tool to walk us through all the ways we can still pursue sexual pleasure.
Right.
I have not looked at it, tried it out or anything. I will try it, I guess, and get back to you. But it's called Prepster. So that's another way. And then you can also improve your sexual communication skills. When is the last time you had phone sex with someone?
It's so passe. It's so 19. It's like so 2000.
But not during a pandemic. It's not.
Well, that's why you can go on a Zoom and have a visual and an audio.
Right. But there's something so, I think, powerful about being able to actually talk on the phone. A lot of people can't do it. A lot of kids can't do it. Like, being able to talk on the phone and have a sexual experience with somebody is really, I think, important.
Agreed, yes.
I used to go and stay at my aunt's house so that I can use her phone and dial those 1-900 numbers.
Oh, my God.
And she let me stay there until she got her bill. Let's just say that. It was hundreds of dollars just having sex with, like, phone sex.
But that is a really good point, actually. You can improve your sexual communication skills and actually get off with someone or get someone off by talking with them.
So let me ask you, Chris.
It really expands your imagination.
And also you can explore your communication sexually if you can't be with somebody who you want to be with and find out more about them and what they want and what they need and how you can give it to them, vice versa.
I am too old for this shit, man. I don't have the patience to be like, you want to what? You want to smack me in the face with your
penis? Hold on, I got to put my phone down. I got to get more lube.
I'll be back. No, it's just, these are great ways to you know, continue to ask people to stay connected, whether it's virtually or, you know, through audio. It's no different than our listeners, right? They stay connected to us via the podcast.
Right. I think the reason I bring up phone sex is because mainly, right, we now have this new world where we are virtually dating.
Right.
We are Zooming on our first date. We are having a glass of wine or cooking dinner with somebody. And we're having a lot more phone calls, you know, right. And we're talking to people more. That relationship, whether it's virtual or not, it's going to eventually move forward to a place where you want to be more intimate. How can you be more intimate? Phone sex.
Right.
You can explore each other's wants and needs by just kind of like having slowly starting that conversation. You know what I mean? A lot of people just send dick pics and then you jerk off and pass out.
Right.
But instead of doing that.
Yeah. So then I can get on the phone and be like, you know, virtually beat me and call me bitch. That gets me off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Literally. I mean, if that's what you want to do, that's what you can do.
Pick up your phone and talk about vampires and biting buttholes and stuff like that. You can do whatever you want.
I mean,
I remember that.
If you look at statistics about dating apps and sites right now, they're through the roof.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. Through the roof. People are literally meeting online at the highest rate ever right now. But they can't meet in person.
Right.
So why not take your relationship to the next level?
And that's the other thing, virtually. Too. You know, one of the casualties of COVID is being able to have that human to human contact. But one of the side effects of that, too, is that, for example, for us in the LGBT community, it is very important. Drugs like, for example, Truvada, right? Very important for us to be able to engage and have that mechanism to keep us even safer when we were physically engaging. But the thing is that once we started going into quarantine, most people didn't refill, right? Because they were like, well, I'm not going to meet anyone. I can't touch anyone. I'm just going to, you know, not do it. And so they weren't being consistent with their medication as mm-hmm. far as Truvada, and they had to think of other ways to be able to safely engage others, right? And I don't think that until we can safely be in spaces without having to wear any mask or anything, this is going to be the new norm.
Yeah, I mean, like, for here's the thing.
I think
everybody has to, you know, take stock and make their own choices
right.
for their risk. And if you are literally having and, you know, moving forward with a virtual relationship, at some point you're going to want to meet in person.
Right.
And I think that, you know, all of these steps might be necessary to feel comfortable, especially during a pandemic, to take the correct stock and say, okay, I feel safe knowing where this person has been, how they've been dealing with everything.
Right.
And I know what they want. So, yeah, maybe next month or maybe next week, we can set up a face-to-face thing.
So when are we going to meet your virtual boyfriend?
Yeah, which one?
Oh, I know, we've been dying to meet Steve.
Right? Oh, I cannot.
Fuck her.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. And, you know, we know that once we started getting quarantined and locked down, that this was mm-hmm. going to happen, right? This was going to be the way that we were going to be able to somehow navigate and survive
yeah.
something like this.
And the reality is, you know, mental health is a huge part of, you know, what everybody is currently dealing with during this pandemic. And a big part of that is sexual fulfillment.
Right.
If we're not being fulfilled sexually, that is going to weigh on us mentally. So if we can't interact, like, you know, by touching one another,
right.
COVID, then there are other ways we can do it. I mean, we have to make sure that we're keeping our mental health in the best place that it can be. So if it's dick pics for you or videos for you, so be it. But honestly, try phone sex. Try texting. You know, like, do something different out of the norm. Because, I don't know.
I did the phone sex thing when it wasn't a thing.
You know, oh, no, it was a thing.
Like in 1994, when I had like my first Motorola like flip phone.
Your Razor?
No, the Razor came later. That was yeah. that was in 2001-ish, somewhere around there. This was like maybe 4 or 5 years before the iPhone. That's when I had my Razor.
So short but funny story, and I'm sure I've shared this on the show before.
Probably.
But, when I was dating Matt in college, my parents were in Florida. And his were in Connecticut. And so we would have to spend months at a time apart. And one time, not one time, many a time, we had phone sex. Many a time. And I really enjoyed it. But one time.
Oh, dear.
I was on the phone. We were like in it, like in the middle of it. And my mother fucking opens the door. My hand is around my dick. And I am saying some nasty shit on the phone. I mean, some nasty shit. And she's like, what the fuck?
Oh, that's perfect. I like it. That was great.
Oh, my God.
But what did I do?
That's literally.
What did I do? Can I? No, that's not the
one. That's creepy.
Thank you. That's the one I wanted. I said, Mom, get the fuck out.
I don't think I've ever had my mother catch me doing some sort of sexual thing. I don't think that was a thing.
You're still young.
You will too. Actually, no, I lied. So when we were living in on Ward Street. In the apartment, uh-huh. I had my continuous one night stand. Right, I've had a one night stand with the same guy for 20 years.
That sounds more like a 20-year stand.
My mother had the key to my back door, and I was sitting there getting. I was getting railed. It
sounds like he had the key to your back door.
Meaning to it,
I was getting railed. Oh. And you know how the bathroom had a door into my room uh-huh. and the door into the bathroom from the kitchen. My mother opens the back door. Hello. I'm like, no, get the fuck out.
And she's never been more proud of you.
Busy. And she ran out the door. That was the first time ever. She didn't get to see me, but I'm sure she heard something.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, that had to happen like in my 30s. Like, I wish that embarrassing moment would have happened when I was a teenager. You know, but my mother doesn't have boundaries.
No.
None.
No, and honestly, she was probably like proud of him and walked away.
Like, I always tell mom, when I'm home, call me first. I might be, you know, getting some
nip-nip. Then why would you give her a key? You know your mother.
Because she would take care of my babies when I wasn't at work, and she felt the need to decide to just walk in one day. I'm bored. I just wanted to come up.
I made rice.
Yeah, I was gonna go there, but I was afraid you guys were going to like say I was being racist or something.
No, it's
like,
very Puerto Rican.
I was like, she was stopping over some rice and beans.
Nope. Not offended, because 99.9% of the time when she's coming to see me, she has food and rice is included.
And 99.9% of the time, all your friends show up because it's so good.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yo, my mother is an amazing cook.
Oh my God, so good.
So anyway, she got side railed.
Yeah, two quick things. So phone sex, try it. If you want to send dick pics, cooch pics, tit pics, live your life. That being said, know who you're sending your shit to, because that shit lives forever. Mm-hmm. So you need to be careful. Don't just get involved with somebody and start sending random dick pics.
Right.
And also, if you send a dick pic, at least for the first one, make sure your face isn't in it. And also, check your surroundings, because, like, KY shouldn't be there. Like, your underwear shouldn't be on the side. Like, make it look
halfway
decent.
Make sure your room is clean.
Yeah.
Like, yo, I had to have this conversation with my nephew, because I'll tell you, this little fucker decided that he wanted to send a dick pic to this girl. With his face, the whole body. I was like, okay. And they must have, something happened. This little bitch reached out to me and says, sends me the picture.
Mm-hmm.
When I open that up and I see my nephew's face and I look down, I'm like, oh my God, I cannot believe I'm looking at this. And she says, do you know him? And I replied, this is my nephew. Well, you tell him. I was like, block. I immediately went back to him and I sent him the picture. I said, some chick just sent me this and she's really mad at you. And dude, if you want to be a politician, learn how to cut your fucking face out of a picture.
100%. Like, make sure you're taking care of yourself. Like, that is going to live forever.
If I were to ever tell my brother that, I think he would probably have a heart attack.
Well, now he knows.
Well, my brother doesn't listen to the show all the time, but the it's embarrassing.
The moral of the story here is sex will find a way.
Right.
And in this article, it says gay sex, but personally, I think in general, sex is going to find a way. So find a way that makes sense for you, that's safe, and you know, you can still have fun, because
get creative.
We need to engage sexually, and it really does help with mental health and a lot of other health. Mm-hmm.
Endorphins things. Are good.
Yeah.
Right. And cut your goddamn face out.
Yeah. I mean, like, I really need sex right now. And I think that's why I was drawn to this article.
I think we all do. So anyway, I think we've gone long enough. It's been an amazing show. So we're going to go off course and start wrapping it up. So I'm going to kick it off. Moving on over to our dearest Trish for her.
All right, everybody. It's Mama Kim's Minute. So number one, Georgia considering a panel of three physicians to evaluate girls' genitals for school sports. Fuck them. Number two, dad creates trans-friendly swimwear collection inspired by daughter.
Love that was a beautiful story.
Mm-hmm. Number three, 13 Black, which we haven't talked about yet this month, which we need to.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
13 Black LGBTQ plus icons who have helped change the world. It is Black History Month.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we need to honor that, and we should do that next week.
We can. Yeah, well, actually,
next week will be March 1st.
Yeah, well, we're going to have later.
That's, okay. But
well,
better late than never.
Yeah, well. Right.
No, and it is important.
Yeah,
cursive. Well, a lot of things happened, you know, and you know, time flies when you're on Prozac. That's mm-hmm. all I can say. 100%. And but there's a lot of great stories and a lot of good content that has been circled around regarding Black History Month, and a lot of amazing Black individuals that are making good things for the world and society. Aside from all of the legends that we know, there's mm-hmm. a lot of really current amazing people that are doing good things, and they need to be acknowledged. I agree.
Yeah.
All right, well, why don't we move on over to the very next one? You want to take that?
Sure, yeah.
You haven't been here in a couple of weeks, and it's been challenging.
I wasn't going to ask questions until after the show. Yeah. Wait, so I don't get a sound, right?
I know. Wait, which one was his? No, that wasn't it.
That wasn't it. I am.
No, that wasn't it.
We'll work on it. Yeah. We'll work on it. Yeah. I want.
There you go, Chris.
It's a starter.
Yay me. So on this day in gay history, is it still brought to you by something?
Sure, we'll try it.
So on this day in gay history, brought to you, of course, by
GayRealEstate.com.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that one.
We always say this only because, you know, it's awesome to have to have a real estate agency that is and supports the gay community, and it's built for specifically for the gay community, and which is why we always promote it, because I think it's awesome. But we may move on to other things mm-hmm. at some point.
But it is important. I mean, we work with doctors, so we work with Dr. G, so we can help find medical professionals that understand our community, and it's good to have people in the real estate field to make sure that we're protected and not being discriminated against when we're looking for homes. So it is an important thing.
Agreed. So if you're looking for a home and you want to live in a gayborhood, make sure that you check out gayrealestate.com.
Mm-hmm. All right. So on this day in gay history, when February 22nd, 2007, in the country of the Netherlands, an openly lesbian member of government was elected. Gerda Verburg became the Minister of Agriculture, Nature, and Food Quality.
We're only laughing because of the way you pronounce her name, because it was right. So say it again, please.
Gerda Verburg.
It actually is a word.
Lord have mercy. All right. Well, here we go, I suppose. So, ladies and gents, if you love the show, make sure that you go subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting service. By subscribing, you get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. And you can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listener, to support the show with a monetary donation. We collect those monthly, and those donations can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Chris?
Well, next week, it's Trish and Tom. I'll probably be here. Next week, it's all about the dish, and that is one thing that I said I wanted to make sure I could try to get here, at least for a dish episode. Right. We look forward to just shooting the shit next week.
So we did explain why, you know, you've been on and off.
Why don't you explain it?
Because of school.
Yeah, right? That's
right. And so, you know, you have 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, and, you know, shit happens. And then the snowstorm happened, which we didn't expect. And that's why he couldn't be here 3 weeks in a row.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't quit. We wouldn't let him.
I'm still here.
All right.
I'm still here.
Nicholas?
Thank you to our guest, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for again joining us. The link for today's Tales from the Tale will be on tonight's post, along with all the ways you can contact the great doctor.
That's right. And now here's Nick with a weekly reminder for all of you bottoms out there who want to keep your buttholes on point. Yes, we're talking about the future method. Baby girl.
Thank you. Get your discount today for the future method. Each time you clean out with water or enemas, delicate tissues are harmed and cells are damaged, increasing chances of injury and or STD. The first of its kind doctor-developed formula gently cleanses before you play without hurting your bum. And now you can use code GAYTALK20 for 20% off, valid for one purchase or one subscription per butthole.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'm proud of you, Christopher.
Can we put a rubber on this, please?
Yes, yep. Please.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under audio podcast. It is also available as a free download on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk20.com. Come.
Proud of you, girl. Oh, my God.
A lot going on in that one.
A lot of interns in this room today. All right. Well, if you need to reach out to us, just head on over to our website. There you can click on the Contact Us tab located at the top of that web browser. You can use that space to leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual host. You can also call us and leave us your questions via voice message. We can answer those for you on the show. That phone number is 334-GAY-TALK. And if you need all the digits, it is 334-429-8255. Don't forget that we do stream live every Monday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you can access that live stream by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. With that, ladies and gents, that is our show. Thank you, and y'all have a good night. Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.